This afternoon, we pay attention to what God reveals to us in the 10th commandment of his law. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And in that connection, we're going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7. So from Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read to verses 1 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. We turn now to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 7, and read to verses 7 through 25. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. A wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So far our reading from God's holy word. This afternoon, we pay attention to God's revelation about the 10th commandment as the church has summarized that, and we together confess it in Lord's Day 44 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 44, where it is asked and answered, what does the 10th commandment require of us? That not even the slightest thought or desire, contrary to any of God's commandments, should ever arise in our heart. Rather, with all our heart, we should always hate all sin and delight in all righteousness. But can those converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? No. In this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of this obedience. Nevertheless, with earnest purpose, they do begin to live, not only according to some, but to all the commandments of God. If in this life no one can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, why does God have them preached so strictly? First, so that throughout our life we may more and more become aware of our sinful nature and therefore seek more eagerly the forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, so that while praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we may never stop striving to be renewed more and more after God's image until after this life we reach the goal of perfection. After the preaching of the gospel, our Amen song is Psalm 19, stanzas 4 and 5. Psalm 19, stanzas 4 and 5 after the sermon. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me ask you this question. What is in your heart? That's a very personal question, for nobody can see what is in your heart except you and God. Is your heart full of coveting? Or is your heart full of contentment? In the depths of your heart, do you delight to serve the Lord? Or do you wish you were free to do other things? When the Bible speaks about the heart, it does not just mean that physical organ that pumps blood through our bodies. Rather, in Scripture, the heart is also the place of man's spiritual and intellectual life. Emotions are in the heart. You rejoice in your heart. You feel pain or peace in your heart. The heart is also the place of understanding and knowledge, the place of thinking and devising. The will of man also originates in his heart. The Bible speaks about the intentions and decisions of man's heart. You could say the heart is a comprehensive term for the inner life of a person. And that's going to be our focus this afternoon, because that's what God draws our attention to in the 10th commandment. He makes clear that we are called to serve Him also with our hearts. You could say in this commandment, the Lord calls us to that beautiful response, "To you I give my heart, Lord, promptly and sincerely." And so our theme and points this afternoon, in saying do not covet, the triune God commands us to give Him our hearts. And we'll see three things. First of all, God the Father and the creation of our heart. Secondly, God the Son and the redemption of our heart. And finally, God the Holy Spirit and the sanctification of our heart. So in saying do not covet, the triune God commands us to give Him our hearts. God the Father and the creation of our heart, God the Son and the redemption of our heart, and finally God the Holy Spirit and the sanctification of our heart. So first of all then, God the Father and the creation of our heart. You know, the 10th commandment is different from the others. The other commandments speak more about our words and our actions. You could say more concrete things. And yes, it's true. Each commandment is also relevant to what is going on in our hearts, our desires. For example, when the Catechism explains the sixth commandment, it says that included in that commandment is that we must put away all desire of revenge. In explaining the seventh commandment, the Catechism says God forbids all unchaste desires. But the difference is, the commandment, you shall not covet, focuses in on the desires of the heart. To covet is to desire. To covet the neighbor's house or animals is to desire what is not yours for yourself. That's the root desire behind stealing. Or to covet the neighbor's wife is to desire intimacy with a woman to whom you are not married. That's the root desire behind adultery. The point is, in this 10th commandment, God makes so clear to his people, he cares about the desires of the heart. And that shows how different God's law is from human laws that are used in our society. Human laws focus in on what can be measured by others. Laws like do not steal, do not kill, they are found in many legal systems on earth. Even in the past, there were laws against working on Sundays. These are all things that can be measured and policed, punished by the authorities when there is a transgression. But the 10th commandment really reveals the distinct character of God's law. He gives also commands about our desires. Those desires which nobody can police, nobody can judge. Oh, it might be that our eyes reveal covetous desires at times. But those covetous desires can equally well be hidden, and often are. And so nobody can put you in jail for coveting. For how do you determine what's in someone's heart? But God can see. And so he tells us that even the desires of our heart are to be pleasing to him. And so in this commandment, God gets us to examine our motives. What's the driving motive behind our words and deeds? It calls us to be very honest with ourselves. Are we driven by envy? Or are we driven by a fear of missing out? Often that's the result of social media. People brag about how great their holiday was, how lucky they are to have this amazing appliance, how good their life is going, how great a party they are at. And that awakens covetous desires in people. Fear that someone else has something that we should have, else we are missing out. Let us honestly examine our hearts. Catechism explains that this commandment is very broad. Not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any of God's commandments should ever arise in our hearts. And that's a broad application of this commandment, whereas the commandment itself, in its wording, only seems to be dealing with the desires behind stealing and adultery. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. But when the Catechism explains it, it applies it to the whole law of God. No thought or desire contrary to any of the commandments. Also the first and the second and the third commandments. Why does the Catechism make it so broad? To answer this question, we need to see how this commandment is dealt with in the New Testament. This afternoon we read from Romans chapter 7. And there Paul points out that he would not have known sin except through the law. And then he takes the 10th commandment as an example. Writes Paul, I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. And remember, the commandment spoke about coveting the neighbor's wife and field. And Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has compressed the 10th commandment into the more simple, you shall not covet. Or literally, you shall not desire. And then Paul goes on to speak about this in a more general way. He writes, but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, you shall not desire, produced in me all manner of evil desire. And so Paul does not restrict this commandment to the evil desire for the neighbor's wife and possessions, but to all manner of evil desires. And that's why the Catechism, echoing the words of the Apostle Paul, applies this commandment to desires against any of the commandments of God. And then you see, congregation, the depth of God's law. Our God is a God who rules our thoughts. That's the awesome teaching of this commandment. God requires far more of us than that we just do or say the right things. He requires that our hearts are full of good desires. For this commandment does not condemn all desire. No way. God commands his people in his word to desire, literally to covet righteousness. The same word used in this commandment is the word used in Psalm 19 to teach us that we should desire God's law. But the point is, no evil desires. This commandment is revelation from the God who created us. And therein we see his purpose in our creation. For he created us all with hearts. The fact that we can desire something, that capacity has been created by God. The fact that we can follow through that desire to then choose something, that has been created by God. God has created those aspects of us so that we might obey him with those faculties. And that shows us, congregation, the depth of our office and calling. God created us with the task to image him in this world. That's why he gave Adam commands and instructions so that Adam might serve the Lord as an office bearer, doing the will of God. And the depth of man's task, he had to obey God, even in his heart. It was not just to do and say the right thing, but he had to desire the right thing. He had to desire to faithfully serve as God's image. An employee might not care for his boss or respect him in his heart. But as long as his boss does not know, and that employee works well, and when he speaks respectfully to the boss, then the boss will be happy. But that's where God is so different. He created us as creatures who think, who have desires. God could have made robots that simply function as they've been programmed to. But our Creator is far more than the maker of robots. He created mankind who can work with what God has said and who can thus serve God even with the thoughts and will and desires of his heart. And that, congregation, is when the Creator receives the glory, when the people that he created serve him from the heart. And what's in the heart will then flow out into the rest of life. Obedience in the heart will lead to obedient words and actions. The 10th commandment reveals to us the depth of the task God gives us, his creatures. Our God requires perfection, not unwilling obedience. A slave will render that if he's scared of being whipped. But our God requires obedience coming from a willing heart. We must give our hearts to the Lord promptly and sincerely. God requires more, brothers and sisters, that we regularly come to church to listen to his word. He also requires that we never even think of this as a bother, even for a moment. God requires more than that we are kind to each other in our words and deeds. He also requires that not even for a moment do we resent each other in our hearts. God requires more, boys and girls, than that we obey our parents promptly. He also requires that disrespectful thoughts about mum and dad never even cross our mind. That we never even consider doing what they disapprove of when they are not around. Children, God requires more than that we never fight with our brothers and sisters. For He also requires that we never, not even for a moment, be glad in our heart when our brother or sister gets into trouble. God requires more than that we willingly give to kingdom causes, but also that we never even for a moment begrudge the money we give. He requires more than that we do not commit adultery or look at pornography, but also that we never, not even for a moment, enjoy a lustful fantasy. You know the commandments, beloved. You can add to the list. The God who created our hearts wants us to serve Him there. Such is the fear of the Lord that we are called to. Perfect obedience. And do you see then why the second question and answer then belongs in this Lord's Day about the 10th commandment? Can those converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? It's precisely the 10th commandment that makes so clear that the obedience God requires is perfect obedience, which extends to the very core of our existence. Is it possible for those who are converted, is it possible for them to hate sin all the time, even in their hearts, and to only ever delight in what is right? The answer is a miserable no. Perfection is no longer possible. For the fall into sin not only corrupted man's words and actions, also our hearts became headquarters of rebellion. After the fall, man was not only unable to do or say what is good, but man didn't even want to. Such is the extent of his corruption. Evil thoughts that so easily pop into our minds, and try as we might, they continue to come forth. Those evil thoughts show us the depth of the fall. As we read in Genesis 6, every intent of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. Or in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Isn't that an awful sentence, beloved? Those hearts created by God to serve Him are desperately corrupt. Perfection is not even possible for the converted. It's true, the Spirit is working in our hearts. There is a new beginning of obedience, but it's only a beginning. And so the Catechism asks, why God has these commandments preached so strictly if we cannot keep them anyway? Why should God's law be read in church every Sunday again? Why should there be preaching about the covenant obedience that God requires when the perfection commanded is impossible? The answer is humbling, so that throughout our life we may be more and more become aware of our sinful nature. God's law requires perfect obedience so that we come to see more clearly how sinful we are. A lifelong process. God does not want sinners to think that they have arrived. Particularly the 10th commandment shows us this. Perfection is where not only your words and actions, but even the thoughts of your heart are only good continually. Anything less is forsaking your God-given office and calling. And why does God reveal this to us? Not so that we wallow in our sin. Neither, and that needs to be added, so that we might have an excuse for sin. Well, I'm not perfect anyway. No way. God has the Ten Commandments preached so strictly because of His plan for us. He is the one who created us, also our hearts, and His glorious plan is that we serve Him also with our hearts. His purpose is a world full of office bearers, prophets, priests, and kings, people who serve Him from the depths of their hearts. And the commandments must be preached strictly so that we might cling to the one who saves us and restores us in our office. And that brings us to our second point, God the Son and the redemption of our heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ was made like His brothers in every respect, yet without sin. He too had a human heart. He was created with the capacity to desire and to will. And He was faithful to God's law right down to the core of His being. An evil thought never ever came up in His heart. Even a desire of revenge was never nursed. An adulterous thought never crossed His mind. Beloved, He did that as your Savior. He did this so that He might grant us His perfect righteousness. He was completely obedient to the depth of His being so that He might cover in God's sight our disobedience. We know how easy it is for bad thoughts to pop up in our hearts. That it happens so easily should not make us comfortable with that. God hates sin. And our consciences should bother us terribly when sinful thoughts and desires arise. That's the point of the 10th commandment. An evil thought is rebellion against the Creator of our heart. But then God reveals that to us so that we might cling to our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might look to Him in faith and ask that His righteousness be given to me, so that my conscience can be cleansed also of that awful thought that suddenly came up in my heart. Christ's perfect obedience, even in His heart, will cover in the sight of God my awful, shameful thoughts and desires. That's the comfort of the gospel. Jesus Christ also had to fulfill God's will for our salvation. And that will for Him was that He suffer and die for our sins. That too was part of the will of God that He had to delight in. Oh, how difficult that would have been for our Savior. Never in His heart was He to desire anything else. Never was He allowed to shy away from the hellishly awful punishment that was required of Him. How He struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there is another way for Your will to be done, please grant it. But a struggle in which He did not waver, not my will, but Your will be done. So totally was He committed to God's will in His heart. And so He came to completely perform God's will, even as that will required of Him to go to the cross, to be sacrificed there, so that He paid for sins, also those awful thoughts that arise in our hearts. How can anyone of us stand before God's judgment when we realize that even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any of God's commandments is rebellion against the God who created us. Therefore, go to your Savior, beloved. Submit to the instruction of this commandment too, which really gets to the depth of our being. And flee to Him in whom alone is your righteousness. Cry out to God for forgiveness of all your sins. Yes, confess to God those wretched thoughts that spring up in your heart. Repent before His majesty. Confess the rebellion that flows out of the heart which He created for His glory, but which we corrupted. Plead with Him to give you Christ's righteousness. Ask Him to cover the rebellion that you continue to see in the desires of your heart. Ask Him to cover them with the perfect righteousness of Christ's heart. And beloved congregation, don't stop with fleeing to Christ for His righteousness. There is more for us in Him than just forgiveness. We need to be clear about that. It's easy to consider things, also salvation, only from a human perspective. What do I need to be saved from my sins? But that puts the focus on me and my safety. Whereas our focus must always be on God. What is His purpose in our creation and redemption? He created us in such a way that we might be office bearers, prophets, priests, and kings who serve Him from the heart. That's why He gave us His Son, to cover all our rebellion with His perfect righteousness. But that is why He also gives us His Holy Spirit. For His purpose is a people prepared for His coming. To fulfill God's purpose for our lives, we must do more than just cling to Christ's righteousness. We must also seek the work of His Holy Spirit. And that brings us to our last point, God the Holy Spirit and the sanctification of our heart. In this Lord's Day, we confess that although it's only a beginning, yet God's people do begin to live not only according to some, but to all the commandments of God. And there is good scriptural reason for confessing this. For this, brothers and sisters, is the promise of God. In Jeremiah chapter 31, God told His people that He would cause His law to be written where? On their hearts. And that's such an amazing promise. The very same Jeremiah who was inspired by the Holy Spirit to prophesy that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt, also prophesied how the Lord would correct the corruption of the heart. He would write His law there. And that's the work that the Holy Spirit does. He works in our heart with God's law. The 10th commandment bothers our conscience because it shows us how far we have to go still. Evil thoughts and desires arise so easily. How will we ever change? But the Spirit knows the 10th commandment too. He has promised to write the law of God on our heart precisely so that our hearts become more and more filled with a desire, a love, and delight for all righteousness. That's the very certain promise of Jeremiah 31. It's a promise, brothers and sisters, that you are called to believe. It's why you must ask for that work of the Spirit in your life, firmly trusting that He will work righteous thoughts and desires in you, that God will more and more write His law on your heart. Do you see then why this commandment, this 10th commandment, is so important? This commandment teaches us what kind of service we must render to God, and knowing that, we see more clearly how much we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to more and more write God's law on our heart so that there is no room for evil thoughts, but only for righteous thoughts. In Galatians chapter 5, we are told that the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit, and the two are contrary to each other. That means the Spirit works in us the desire to do what is good. The flesh, our sinful nature, brings forth the desire to do evil. And the two struggle against each other. That's why our obedience is only a beginning. The power of the flesh remains. That's why there continue to be evil thoughts and desires that come up in our hearts. But then at the same time, the Holy Spirit is working there. He is renewing us more and more. Do you seek His work in your life, beloved? It's another way of saying, do you submit to the 10th commandment? Do you take God seriously when He says, you shall not covet? I created your heart so that you might serve me also with the thoughts and desires of your heart. Such is my purpose for your life, God says to you. Are we bothered, beloved, by what comes up in our hearts? Are we shocked by how rebellious we continue to be? That's why God gave us this commandment, so that we become increasingly aware of our sinful nature, so that we would flee to Christ for the forgiveness of sins, so that we would earnestly seek that God make even our thoughts and desires perfect. Therefore, seek to live as God created you to live. Seek that renewal of your hearts, so that with all your heart you always hate all sin and delight in all righteousness. Cry out for the Holy Spirit to continue His work in you. And then while the obedience that we see in our lives today is only a small beginning, yet we will not give up the struggle. For the Spirit's victory over our flesh is certain. As He continues to work in our hearts today, He's working towards our perfection, when the desires of the flesh will be completely done away with. And we will serve God right down to the core of our beings in everything. The Father says to us, I created your hearts. I gave you a will and desire so that you might serve me, not as robots, unthinking, but that you might serve me willingly from the heart. The Son says, I am your Savior who redeems your heart. My heart was fully devoted to God, to cover your wicked desires, to cover your evil will. Because the delight of my heart was to do the will of Him who sent me, have I saved you from your sin, also those wicked thoughts and desires with which you corrupt your heart. And the Holy Spirit says, I am your renewer. I have been given to you so that your renewal might extend to your heart too, so that you might be a faithful office bearer, prophet, priest, and king. The purpose of the triune God is that we might serve Him as He has created us to serve Him. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the 10th commandment, the triune God comes to us and He makes clear that He wants your heart. Let us examine our hearts, beloved. Let us repent and cling to Him in faith, our triune God. Amen.